Hey guys, what's up? This is Crystal Amar, and you are listening to Crystal on the Beat Hip Hop Podcast. Stay tuned for some really great interviews with golden era hip hop celebs, as well as some really amazing up and coming hip hop artists. Enjoy the show. Hey guys, what's up? I'm super excited to let you know that tonight's featured guest is Mr. Mix from 2 Live Crew. We're going to listen to Pop That Pussy right now and then his interview. So let's get started.
Damn! Shit! Look at the ass on that bitch! Look at the titties!
Go to see freaky hoes doing shows, doing tricks to make us holler on a given night, all for a dollar. Silicone breasts, oil on their chest, not like us but above the rest. They'll do anything to turn us on, them hoes got it going on.
I like big booty and big old titties, bitch, you know you've been fucked by many, so come and be my private dancer. I got some money if that's the answer. I really wanna be with you. I get hard after seeing you. How hard? Hard like a rock when you make that pussy pop.
Jenny Jane!
Hey guys, what's up? This is Crystal Amar, and you're listening to Crystal on the Beat. I am super psyched to let you know that tonight's featured guest is Mr. Mix of Two Live Crew. How you doing, man?
Doing good. I'm all right. And then chilling.
Excellent. So what have you been up to lately? What do you have going on right now?
Still trying to figure out this internet game of making these records happen. I mean, it's very different. And, you know, based on your internet intellect could be the, you know, thing that could be the defining moment of you winning or losing right. with this stuff. So it's kind of, it's not really confusing. It's just very different from the standpoint of how it is that we used to do versus, what it is that you have to do now to be noticed. And it just seems like, you know, with stuff in general, it just seems that it's very difficult to be found out about if you're not at the top of the list of popularity of people at large. So it's kind of hard for people that might be looking for you to really find you because there's so many fake Instagram, pages or Facebook pages or this or that. So
right.
it's kind of a cluster, you know what I mean? So, but that doesn't deter me from wanting to do things and this and that. And that's why I'm doing this thing with you to get more exposure, you know, more of a situation where a person can really be online with my actual page or what it is that right. I'm actually doing.
Yeah, so you told me that you have a new project going on right now, right? Something in the lines of, it sounds like Fat Man Scoop, I think that's what you told me, you know, like that kind of vibe.
Yeah, I mean, you could say it's like that, but it really isn't like that. It's like, myself and another DJ named Felix Simon, we call ourselves Mix Simon Invasion, and basically what we'll be doing, we'll be making records from the standpoint that, like, if a DJ had the opportunity to really make a record on himself. There's a lot of DJs that have done stuff in the past where they concentrated on scratching or just the fact that maybe there was a radio DJ, things of that nature, but never really in a position of, like, of an artist. So outside of producing the tracks, I'll be doing vocals. Felix will be doing vocals. You know, we have vocalists come in, we have musicians come in, things of that nature. So it's almost like the Mix Summer Invasion. It's starting off with me and Felix, but it'll probably expand to a bunch of other people that's involved in the process.
All right. And when can we be, is that going to be coming out soon, or is that something
very soon. It's just like I said, it's just getting this internet stuff the right way.
Right.
To where we get it right the first time, you know? It's just yeah. really funny. And see, phone is burning up. I mean, I guess I have to put it on silent. Hold on, y'all.
That's never a bad thing.
It doesn't get realer than that, does it? It doesn't get realer than that.
Oh, it's about to, actually, because I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on, like, modern hip-hop? Like, what's going on right now?
Modern? As in what the young people are doing?
What the young kids are listening to these days.
Well, I kind of put it in, you know, in the atmosphere of what, I put it to you this way. People of particular eras pay attention to whatever it is that young people are doing. So it's really the doers. You know, the listeners are flat-out followers, and they feel like if this is my peer and this is what they're doing, then I must be the goofball, you know, if I don't like what it is that I'm hearing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but that's not necessarily true. They're, you know, it's such a, like I say, with the internet, it's such a big deal of, you know, how people are exposed. You know, you're getting record deals based off of your popularity of how people follow you online, more so than how good you are as an artist or a producer or anything like that. Because there's a lot of rappers that's out here, and there's a lot of producers out here that can mop the floor with the people that are actually getting the work. Right. So, really, the actual people are—it's really a kind of like a disservice that these young people are actually getting. They're not really getting what it is that they probably should be getting. You know, you got savvy people that are able to work the jelly with the internet, and they're being seen in ways that, you know, 20 years ago, they would have never had a sporting chance to be seen. Right. So it's just a little different. It's very different.
It is definitely different. And I can appreciate all different kinds of music. I can. But I wanted to know what your take on it was. And also, you know, do you think, I've had a lot of people tell me that they think that it's the media pushing an agenda, and that's why the kind of music that we hear on the radio is always negativity, you know, gun, sex, violence, that sort of thing. Do you think that that has something to do with it?
No, I think that, I think what's really happening is that the execs are allowing, you know, Pookie and Ray Ray to be execs. And Pookie and Ray Ray ain't really refined or defined beyond, you know, their upbringings of what goes on in the hood and things of that nature. So most of them, you know, be street guys that got a couple of dollars, that run across a guy that, you know, that may know how to do a little music stuff. They team up, do what it is that they do, and get some young guys that feel like those guys are the world. They get way more money than what the young person would ever think that they could get. They give them a deal. You know, it's just a whole bunch of rhetoric on a bunch of levels. You right. know, because for a guy like Lil Baby to be able to be an international star, and maybe 2-3 years ago, he was hustling in the street and just happened to know a guy that put a situation together with a record company. He done went from shit to sugar in 2.2 seconds. Right. Wasn't even trying to be no rapper on top of that. So, you know, when you hear it like that, then that kind of lets you know that, you know, it's a goofy scenario. It really is.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So let's see. I wanted to know if you have any advice, like good advice for people that are coming up in hip hop to stay out of trouble.
Stay out of trouble. I just feel like, you know, most people have an understanding of what they need to be doing versus what they don't need to be doing. And yeah, there are young people that, you know, might be a little flighty, might be a little naive about certain aspects of what happens or what goes on. And it's no telling. Maybe some of these people feel like, you know, some of the people are real, or they got real things going on that, you know, some of these guys that, you know, like say for instance with the dude Gunna and the dude Young Thug, they're in prison right now for some stuff that that they say is, you know, in their lyrics authentically actually happened. It's like, you know, they're in the nonfiction business instead of being in the fiction business, and the fiction business will serve them well, but they feel like the nonfiction is going to make them more relevant, which is not, yeah, it's definitely relevant from the aspect that they're in prison now.
Right.
Waiting whatever their situation is going to be, because they feel like the street stuff has to be authentic and a person has to be able to bear witness to some of the things that you did, and that's what makes you more strong, more popular, this and that. And nobody cares because nobody really knows what it is that you did or didn't do. So it's just really ridiculous. That part of it, I don't think it's no media thing. The media focuses on, I mean, they're in the business to project things. You know what I mean? So if this is what's being projected, then that's what they're going to put out there. You right. know what I mean? It's not like they got an agenda that, oh, man, you know, we're going to show people that this stuff is just rhetoric, and you know, we're gonna you know, show that the hip hop stuff really was never nothing to begin with, and this and that. I don't think that the, I don't think it's on that. I really don't. I just think that it's Pookie and Ray Ray that they done got a couple of dollars, and the record execs, based off of what it is that's happening with how people become popular, if they're waving guns on cameras and indicting themselves, and that's the news of the day, then they're gonna run with it. I just, you know, it's just terrible when it comes to that aspect. It really is.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think about, you know, maybe like a way that, because for me, there's a little bit of a gap in the community, in the hip hop community. I've been noticing it, you know, it's been going on for a couple decades. And now you kind of have like your old school hip hop fans, like diehard old school. And then you have like your modern sect of hip hop. What can be done, do you think, to bring those closer together?
The young guys got to turn in their street cards. Flat out. They got to turn in their street cards. So street cards from the standpoint of things that's going to cause problem or harm, this, that, and the third. It has to be, that part of it has to be eliminated. Nobody wants to feel like, you know, if I'm dealing with this person or that person, that harm is going to come to me because I'm dealing with this person because they may could put a few lines together. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to feel like I'm being put in a position of harm just because I feel like a person has a particular level of talent. And, you know, now that I'm dealing with him, his ops is my ops now. I ain't asked for his ops. I ain't asked for none of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's the part of it that's a big deal. It's a super big deal.
Yeah.
I think that part of it is the situation that's going to make it be, you know, a situation where the gap, this is the biggest problem. In hip hop, we never had an availability to connect the dots with every account in the world at your fingertips. All of the major record companies, whether it's American companies or English companies or wherever they are, they're hardwired into every single human being on earth. Whereas back in the day, we didn't have that. If your record had to do well in America for someone in England wanting to license the record, or Australia to license the record, or Canada to license the record. You know what I mean? So, and you were getting your money way slower from the standpoint of, you know, all of the stuff was invoiced 60 days, 90 days, you know, the distributors can hold your money. You know, now that everything is hardlined, wired together because of your phone, you know, Rick Ross or Beyonce or Lil Durk or whatever, they can release a project. And within 2 weeks, they done got all their money from all over the world.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
So
that's why the records don't last long, because the information is able to be gotten very fast. People may like the record, they might like the project, but the project doesn't hang around because it doesn't have time to be able to move around and be discovered.
Right.
Everything is just bam, just like that. How can Beyonce, that had a record out, an album out maybe a month ago, not be talked about in 30 days?
Yeah.
Don't make no sense, right?
Right.
But that's because all of the phones are hardwired to where everybody can get the information all at once. They get all of the money all at once. And, you know, once you done got the money, hell, you ain't even got to go tour or nothing. You can just say, okay, well, that was cool. I threw a little thing out there and that's that. You know, if people liked it, you know, maybe I could tell from my pockets if they liked it, if they purchased it, you know, but the stuff doesn't hang around long enough to be able to have any kind of social, you know, it can't, you know, you can't sink your teeth into it because it's not going to able to be played on the radio for 2 to 3 months for you to get an understanding that this record is something, right, for it to get into your skin. It's not going to be around that long because then the next person, you know, Beyonce put her stuff out, then the next one puts that stuff out next month, and then the next person put that stuff out the month after that. So nothing is able to stay on the radar.
Right.
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, it's the music doesn't have the staying power these days that it used to have because of the instant gratification part, where everybody's like, give me it now, and then they consume it now, and people don't continue to really consume the same information or the same music nowadays. They want instant, they want new, and they want it now, you know, which is kind of
and it's free, right. It's accessible without them having to spend their money to get it, because it's like they can get, okay, well, I subscribe to Apple Music, so I'd be able to get whatever it is that I want. I was talking to a buddy of mine about that, you know, the philosophy that these young people have and some of these older people have, that they know that they ain't bought no music from anybody in a long time. So, well, I got an Apple account, or I got a Pandora account, or I got a Spotify account. Check this out. If you was able to go into a record store, right, plus a gang of records, you're able to just go into the record store, grab all the records that you can out of the different bins and just walk out the store with them. Mm-hmm. That's what this is.
Yeah.
As much as you can carry.
Right.
You know, the average person know that that wouldn't be right to do. They're just taking product from people for, you know, for pennies on the dollar. And if the shoes, if you was in the shoes of having to do the music, you would feel some kind of way about it as a consumer. You wouldn't be one, you know. Even a little kid on that got a lemonade stand is gonna get more money than what you get for the, you know, for 10 lemonades. They're gonna get more money than what you get on a damn stream.
Right. So what about that? Like, do you think that there's something that can be done about the music industry and actually making music again that way?
I think the biggest problem is that the major record companies, since they're, you know, right now, you know, you got Live Nation that got all of the venues, and you got some other companies that, you know, to control a lot of the situations with the way that the recordings are done. It's almost like they don't really speak about it. It's almost like antitrust law stuff. It's like a monopoly, mm-hmm, with you know, a few people that are able to do things, and they're winning, and there's nobody that's over the top of it that can make things slow up, because, you know, Apple is so big, and, you know, Apple is the one that kind of started all of this stuff, making the consumer feel like they could buy a record for a dollar, but the greedy execs at the record companies and things of that nature feel like, well, hell, if I could get 20 million people to spend a dollar on something, you know, I ain't got to worry about marketing, promoting, shipping, receiving, any of that stuff. It's just clear cash. You know, ain't got to manufacture anything.
Right.
So, in some aspects of it, it's cool, but it ain't cool how they do the artists or the people that, you know, that are making the product. You know, I can't really speak on the fact of how much money some of these big acts get for delivering the product and all of that. And there's a lot of, you know, like I say, just to give people that are listening understanding of how this goes. If you listen to Pandora, it's going to take 756 records to be played for a dollar to be paid out.
Wow.
756 records. Not your song being played. Well, yeah, you can put it that way too. Your song being played 756 times, it only equates to $1.
That's
YouTube
crazy.
Is twice as worse. 1,500 views on YouTube pays $1. So
wow.
All the people that was involved in the record, you know, whoever's involved, that you get. So your video seen 3,000 times, but it only generates $2 of a payout.
Yeah, that's crazy.
3,000 times.
Yeah, that's.
So, you know, you can just do the math. 30,000, your video has been seen 30,000 times. But you got $10.
I know. It's crazy. And I've definitely spent a lot of time thinking about how we could change that or how I could get back to making money. And it's like the only really way that that would happen is if music were to change, because people aren't going to pay for what they've been getting for free for so long, you know?
Well, I don't know about that. I think that, you know, if you just stop doing it and make people, you know, pay for what it is that they have. See, the problem is it's not so much of them, you know, the trick bag part of it is the subscription. That's the trick bag.
Mm-hmm.
If the subscriptions was taken out of the equation, then you don't have no access to what can't be accessible. I think that's what Napster and all the people was going through. You know, they said, well, we can make the system where, you know, the records are not able to be, you know, available in a particular way and this and that. And the major labels at the time didn't want to invest into the software because they felt like they were being hijacked or held hostage by the Napster people.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now, I mean, it's like they're just, you know, the only thing that you can't control this way is by doing live performances. So I think what the major labels are doing right now, they're basically doing the situation where if they're, you know, they'll make the artists as hot as they possibly can, and then they do a split with the artists on the money for the performances.
Right.
That's where they get their big money from, because if a person goes to a festival, there's money out there. So the money they're going to be able to get paid. So they would like for more festivals to be happening, but hell, that ain't even enough time in the day for any and everybody to get on the stage to do anything.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. You
know, it's ridiculous. I mean, even if you got 12 hours, you still can't get all of the acts probably on stage. They probably have to do one or two songs, get out. One or two songs, get out. One or two songs, get out.
Yep.
People don't show up until 5 o'clock, but they perform it since 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. So I know that you wanted to give us a demonstration. So I was thinking, why don't we get into that? Because I am super excited to see it.
Yeah, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just give a basic understanding of, you know, how turntablism or DJs, you know, a lot of the young people that use controllers, they do not have a clue of what, you know, how it got to become a situation with the controllers. All of it comes from, you know, these turntables. You know what I mean? So basically, you know, for the needle to be on the record, they think that maybe this is just a magic needle or something. It, you know, if you put too much weight on this record, the needle is going to jump off of the record. So the skill is having soft enough touch on the record to make sure that the needle doesn't jump. So it's an applied skill in order for you to be able to do what it is that you're doing. So, you know, that part of it is, you know, I wouldn't say that it's a lost art form because it still exists. The problem is that you don't have artists that are involved with the art form actually making the records now. That's
right.
Almost like saying the people that are making music are not playing instruments anymore.
Right.
You know, yeah, this is a band, but they not. There's no drummer, there's no guitar player, there's no bass player.
Yeah.
There's no backup singers. You know, they said that there was some person they signed, somebody signed someone that was a AI, I guess, artificial intelligence rapper. Artificial intelligence rapper.
Really?
Which to me is kind of like what happened years ago with the group Gorillaz. It was just, you know, a group that was made based off a guy that that could play a bunch of instruments, but he wasn't thinking about going out on tour, this and the third, but he had a lot of good songs that he wanted to do. So it got marketed through making a cartoon band to for the videos to be done off of. And he did very well with it. So I just think that it's just getting to the point right now that since music is free right now, you know, people will accept whatever it is that they accept, whatever they're nosy about. But when they don't, when they're not able to access the music, they'll be forced to buy it like they were forced to buy it back in the day. You know, one of the biggest tricks that was going on in our day is that a person would have a single out, let it be hot for maybe 3-4 weeks, then they'll take that single out of the system, replace it with an album, so you're forced to buy the whole album instead of just a single. So you can't, I mean, in today's world, you really can't do it. The people are so greedy about the fact of having all of the, if somebody releases an album, all the records is available individually. So they, you know, they're okay with a person cherry picking a person's body of work. You know, I don't want right. that whole album. Fuck that whole album. But I like number 8, though. I'll buy that one.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
All right, cool. So let's get that demo going.
Illustrating, description, giving, adjective. compromising musical myth, seeking people of the universe. This is yours.
Come back. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the beat? Bobby's double.
Yo, what's up, man?
Yo, these crab MCs got us trapped up behind these walls, man. But I'm ready to break out here and do this, you know what I'm saying? So what's the magic word?
Open sesame. Sesame.
Man, that was awesome. I'm so glad that I had a chance to witness that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you know, hip-hop is not going anywhere. It's just being boxed out in a certain way to where, you know, the young people of the day, they probably can really learn something from what it is that we did back in the day, but right now they're just getting garbage, you know, stuff for the most part, you know what I mean? So I hope that, you know, that they will pay attention to what it is that's going on and what's happening. And, you know, that they'll gain an interest in how records are really made from a hip hop standpoint and real musicianship standpoints and all of that. So that's, you know, if there's, even if the money's not made, at least have an understanding of how the craft is done.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm really glad to have people like you that are willing to get on my show and to do things like this to remind us of where hip hop came from, you know, and to keep, for lack of a better term, to keep real hip hop alive, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, you know, the thing is, it just has to be put in certain arenas to make it seem like it's not, you know, I'll put it to you this way. Football, basketball, baseball are always gonna have a standard of doing what it is that's being done. And musicians, you know, whether you're a rock musician or a blues musician, it is that there's certain stuff that you just flat out can't get around. You could say, okay, well, this is the new way of being able to do this particular thing, but it cannot, you know, make another genre just flat out exit because people want to do different things. That's the same thing, like if the B-52s, the punk rock band, was to say to Led Zeppelin, hey, this is the new rock. No, it isn't. It's called that. You call it something else, but you ain't calling it that. That's mm-hmm. the biggest problem that's going on in hip hop right now. I don't want to use the word Gestapo. That might be offensive to some people, but there's no, you know, there's no security situation for the genre itself. There's nobody, there's no, what they call the first line of defense. There's none of that that's going on. So, mm-hmm. stuff is just being done, you know, they don't really care if it has an art form or this, that, and the third. Can we sell product with what it is that's being done? They don't really care what you call it. So that's the biggest problem in hip hop right now. You don't have no first line of defense saying, nah, that is not hip hop. You put that over there.
Right.
You know, and the people that want to listen to it over there, you put it over there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That should be happening. And, you know, if there were more execs that's in their 50s that came up in the situation that are not being boxed out or X'd out of the situations, it could probably be that, you know, whether it's Russell or Puffy, this or that. I just think that they wanted the money. They didn't really want the responsibility of it. They just wanted to be able to do their thing, be, you know, free enterprise guys and not want to be George Washington or Thomas Jefferson of hip-hop.
Right.
They don't do that.
You know, yeah, no, so, I see what you're saying. You know, it's a lack of structure and a lack of, you know,
just being able to, we don't have to label it or anything. It's just, we can tell that there's nobody that's making an example of what hip hop should be, what it always used to be. And instead we're getting all this new stuff, which is trying to push out the way that hip hop came up, you know?
Right. Well, you know, the thing of it is that the young people don't really know. And I think what happens with the older guys is that hip hop has been around for so long that, you know, they allow the young kids, they kind of like give lightweight, give them a pass. You know what I mean? When really a pass shouldn't really be given.
Right.
You know what I mean? Either do hip hop or call what it is you're doing ghetto Disney or whatever it is that you want to call it, but don't call it that.
Right. I get you.
You know, that, you know, it's the same thing like with, you know, what Q-Tip then was saying and Check the Rhyme to Hammer. You know, if you call that hip hop, you know, you need to stop that because it ain't that. And which it wasn't. That don't mean it wasn't entertaining, though, but it wasn't hip hop. It was something else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is cool. You do your thing, but don't call it this. Don't try to erase what this is. Now, it could be like, I wouldn't even call like what Hammer was doing a subgenre. It was just, you know, up-tempo entertaining aspects of being able to do and using, you know, hip hop, you know, vocal vernacular for it to become what it came. Even with us, Two Live Crew, we wouldn't be considered what they call, you know, traditional hip hop band. You know what I'm saying? But the elements of it, the structuring of it is that. You know what I mean? You know, we were from a different area. We wasn't part of what was going on in the Northeast, but, you know, we were doing it our own, you know, we're doing it our own way in our marketplace, you know what I'm saying? So that's the lovely thing about hip hop back in the days. There was you were able to be diversified. You didn't have to just flat out be a Public Enemy fan. You could be a Public Enemy fan, a Digital Underground band, I mean, fan, or, you know, some X-rated hip hop thing like what we were doing. There was so much diversity in the game. Now all it is you know, gang banging, you know, what, you know, the twerking thought, you know, thotty stuff. And, and you know, if it ain't in those two zones, then it's nothing. It don't get viewed like it's nothing. Just as well as Kendrick Lamar or what's the other dude, J. Cole, and a couple other dudes do what it is that they do. It's almost like, you know, nobody likes the smart guy in the class, which is stupid. You would think that that would be the guy that should hold your interest because that person is going to go further. They're going to attain greater heights. But then I guess at the same time, if you're the smart guy, you're making everybody else feel dumb. So you become the person that, you know, is not liked to have you around. Everybody wants to be ridiculous. So this is funny that I could go on for hours with this stuff, but I'm happy to be on the show, and I'll do this stuff anytime.
Excellent. All right. And yeah, so I will have this out tonight. So thank you again so much for being on the show, and it was lovely to have you, and that was awesome demo.
Yeah, for sure. We can do it again whenever you want, just like I say. Maybe not tomorrow, but but yeah, we can do it whenever. That's fine.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Bye.
You live.
Hey guys, are you looking for more episodes of Crystal on the Beat? We're available on all streaming platforms. Make sure you follow us, and if you like the show, give us a good review. Thanks. All right guys, thanks so much for listening to Crystal on the Beat. If you're interested in being featured on the podcast, go to nevernaired.com/submissions and submit your links for review.